Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him two lips like roses and clover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman,
you know, I had to say goodbye to the pets before I left and everything. Picked up the kitten, and she had the worst wet fart.
Oh,
like,
God.
I've never experienced that. Like, I pick her up, and nothing came out, but it was pretty gross.
That's, I don't think I've ever heard of a cat or dog doing that. Usually they're going to poop or just dry fart.
She was fucking around in the litter box for, like, 10 minutes, just scratching and scratching and scratching. I don't know what they're preparing for, if that was at the after thing, but it was within 5 minutes post litter box, so I think she still had something going on.
She wasn't totally done.
Yeah.
Wow, that's harrowing.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't know that, like, I guess I've never heard of, like, you say goodbye to your cats when you leave.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, see you later. I'll be
back.
Yeah,
usually.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, pet each one.
All right. All right. I've never seen that before. But then, I wouldn't, I guess.
No.
If there was a person who wouldn't have seen that, I guess that would be me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. KGB Radio, episode 42.
Cat farts.
Cat farts. That's going to be the episode title. official podcast of knowngriefers.com. I am your host, Rock. And in this, again, a man-on-man episode, Mr. Yeah. Pat Rock joining me.
Deep in the woods.
Deep in the woods of upstate New York. Lies,
lots of guns.
A podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And yep. A podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. And lots of guns. And, balls.
Balls?
Balls of steel. and swords. We got some swords hanging
out.
That.
Yeah, there's some swords.
We're ready. We're ready. Yeah.
There's more swords than we need.
There are more swords than the both of us could use together, even if we had one in each hand.
That one's like a Bastard or something. That's a large sword.
Yeah, the handle should actually be longer for that. Like, I feel like if you can use that one with one hand, like, you're pretty badass.
I guess without a visual, no one would really know. It's like that's five.
Like, I'd say it's at least 4 feet.
Yeah.
It's like at least 4 feet long. Yeah. Yeah, big old gold handle on it. It's pretty nice.
Not very practical.
No, not really.
Woods.
Yeah, it's fine.
Let's go hack some, well, on a break, let's hack some trees.
Yeah.
Get some swords.
Yeah, or, like, we could make a zombie facsimile, a simulate of a zombie, and, like, get, like, a katana and try to cut his head off. That'd be pretty fun.
Make our own DayZ.
Yeah, in the backyard.
Yeah, we'll probably have more content.
Yeah, that would actually be a lot of fun, yeah. It would be hard to do it without looking like rednecks, though. I mean, anytime you see, like, a dude in the woods shooting a gun on YouTube, it's like, it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just go the other way.
We'd have to, well, I think we'd have to, you know, class it up, maybe, like, wear suits when we do it. That might help a little bit. And, I don't know. We'll figure something out. It'll be fun. It'll be good. Yeah. So, Pat, you've been playing any games?
I didn't play as much this week. Just today, I finally got around and put some more time into Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Ooh.
And that's the same as it has been.
Good.
It's a pretty formulaic thing at this point, but that's okay. And but actually, after the last podcast a week ago,
yeah,
I think several people managed to convince you to get Torchlight 2, so we played that last Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday night.
For a few hours, and that's a lot of fun.
Oh my god, that was awesome.
I hadn't had a chance to play it again.
Neither have
I. Until this afternoon, so I popped in just to click the mouse button for a little bit. it's really good.
To me, it seems like they really distilled, like, the essence of that kind of game, like, down to its awesomest form.
Yeah.
You know, like, I played Diablo 2 a lot back in the day and became really bored with it. And mm-hmm. the main reason why I picked up Torchlight was because, you know, a bunch of my friends have it, and that kind of stuff is fun with friends, and I kind of felt like I needed like a game to play with my friends, and we were having a blast. Like that was really so good. Much fun.
I think, well, after we stopped playing, contributor Jones.
Yep.
He went off on his own, and he's like level 30 or something now.
40.
He's 40 level 40 now. Whatever.
Yeah.
He left us behind.
He left us behind.
And I still don't know how the level scaling works when you join together. I think it probably depends on who's hosting. But I feel like TJ was a bit overwhelmed, but he doesn't really play those games.
Yeah.
That much, but I think he was getting used to it.
He was getting the hang of it, and with all of us together, and I mean, we were really good about, like, sticking together as a group and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing I'm worried about now is, like, with Jones so far ahead, either he's gonna have to come back to our area to play with us, which is gonna be really boring for him, because he can pretty much one-shot everything, and, like my thing with those kind of games is that I really don't like when, like, a high-level person comes back and is just like, oh, I'll just rush you through to my spot, because that's really boring. Like,
yeah.
At that point, I'm just following you around picking loot up, and that's really fucking boring, and I really hope that we don't have that kind of a situation with Torchlight.
Yeah, I mean, as it is, I don't remember who hosted, but they picked easy, which that's okay. I think medium difficulty is better.
We could just, probably
it's more
medium.
Satisfying.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's always satisfying getting all the loot and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But having some difficulty is nice.
Yeah.
But we'll work on that. I think
Matt Thompson.
Yeah, Matt Thompson.
Yeah.
He,
friend of the show.
Matt Thompson. Yeah, he picked it up a few days ago after I told him about it. And he went off and leveled a character like crazy because that's just what he does. But then I told him that we had one in progress, and he has a second character ready for us.
Awesome.
So
awesome. Yeah, I would like to play some more of that soon, because, like, I'm resolute. Like, I'm not playing this unless I'm playing it with friends. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm cool with sticking to that philosophy.
Yeah,
this is like it's a lot more fun with friends.
Yeah,
like everything.
Like I legitimately have no interest in playing that game by myself.
Yeah,
it's just not fun for me if I'm playing by myself. So.
Yeah,
I don't know. It kind of, for me, the main crux of that is that I want to play it with my friends, so,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of boring otherwise. You know, plus we get really good banter and stuff when we all play together.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus you get, you know, real-time reactions. Like, you were showing off that three-hand sword that you found that was amazing.
yeah,
jeez.
I know.
Jeez.
I just happened to pick that up. That was mm-hmm. nice. And then, like, the first couple of, like, encounters that we had, I ended up getting some crazy gun that was perfect for you.
Yeah, yeah. And
once we figured it out, the trading's actually pretty intuitive.
Super easy. That's the thing, is that every, like, they made, like, the best kind of that game that you can make. To me, anyway. That's mm-hmm. what it looks like to me, is that they really did make, like, that is the best version of that.
Yeah. And, I mean, comparing it, of course, because it's inevitable to compare it to, like, Diablo 3.
Sure.
And I've played, I haven't even beat the first chapter of Diablo 3 before I lost interest.
Okay.
But I see that one as being more of, like, I'll probably just play that by myself eventually.
Okay.
It's just more of a story-driven, that's where the richness is in that, at least for me. In Diablo 3, it definitely has that production design that, I mean, no one else will be able to, like, replicate or even aspire to, really.
Sure.
But, I don't know, that one's kind of just, I'll get to it someday. And, but Torchlight 2 is just awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so much, I mean, considering that they sell it for $20.
I was just going to say, it's $20. I mean, that's why for me it was such an easy thing. Like,
yeah.
As you were leaving, or getting ready to leave last week, I was like, yeah, I will. Like, 20, for me that's an easy, you know, an easy decision. Like, $20, even if we only play this for, you know, like, you know, 10 hours, 15 hours, like, I'm fine. I'm fine paying $20 for that kind of fun, because I know that we're going to have a lot of fun doing it, so.
Yeah.
You know, I would be a lot more hesitant if that game was $60.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have bought it if it was $60.
No, no.
But, yeah, I think that's, like, perfect. Well, and then we also played some Man vs. Machine.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Before
Torchlight. Prior to it, yeah.
Yeah. Which, that was my first time with it.
Mine as well.
And that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, holy crap. I as soon as they announced that, I was like, guys, check this out. Check it out. And then, like, for the next month and a half, TJ and Mike would be like,
oh, we played last night.
Yeah, where have you been? And I still hadn't played it until last Saturday, and that's a lot of fun.
That was really cool.
I don't usually like a horde mode type of thing, or waves, or whatever, but it was still, it's, you know, your company.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of classes that you can play as. Because, I mean, I never stray from playing as a soldier in Team Fortress 2. I still haven't, but it was a lot of fun just to mess around with different builds. Like, yeah. We only played through two different full rounds, but at least when I was there.
Really?
That's all. Well,
I was really drunk, though, so I may not be remembering accurately.
That's by the time I came on, we played through one, and then there was a second, and then we moved on to Torchlight. But,
oh, okay.
It
occurred to me that, like, that I started drinking when you came over that day, and I kind of didn't stop until, like, 2:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of paid for it the next day, but it was worth it.
Yeah, did you stick with rum and cokes?
Yes.
Yeah, oh wow.
All night.
Because I had three, I think, in the time that I was there.
We had three while we did the show. I think I actually had four while we were doing the show. And you stopped because you had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. No, I might have switched to beer at some point. All I know is it's at some point during the week, four empty beer bottles were over here. And they weren't here when you left. I must have switched to beer at some point, but I don't really remember, so... That's a week ago. I can't be expected to remember.
That was a beautiful day, too.
Wasn't it?
Until, at one point when we were recording, I noticed that it was raining. And then, like, by the time I left, it was raining pretty bad when I looked outside. But, you know, when I arrived here, windows down, everything. my seats were so soaked. They just dried off.
Your windows open?
I totally left my windows open. They just dried off, like... couple days ago, finally.
Going to work with a wet ass.
Yeah.
Man.
Luckily I had some, like, just clothes and stuff to just pad the seat down. But
oh, that sucks.
Yeah. That was a rough week for that.
Yeah.
But
well, at least it didn't make your car smell bad. That would have been even worse if there was, like, a mildew, like, scent.
I didn't really get to that yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess that might come later.
Yeah.
I'd get a blow dryer, maybe. I don't know.
Everyone says that my car smells like cigarettes, and I've never smoked.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's really strange.
So, maybe it was the previous owner.
Yeah, could be.
But I've had it at least, like, two times as long as the person had it before me. So, I don't understand. But
that's weird. Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the I'm told that the smell of cigarettes can linger for quite a bit, but, like, I never had that experience. I used to be a smoker. I was a smoker for years, and like, even when I was a smoker, people would be surprised when they found out I was a smoker, because I never smelled like cigarettes, you know, So, I don't know, that hasn't been my, but then, like, on people that are really heavy smokers, I noticed, like, when I quit, I was like, wow, awful, like, I can't be around it anymore, you know?
Jesse frequently, like, mentions that, like, because she's been smoke-free for over a year now.
Oh, okay.
And, it was almost immediately apparent to her, like, how bad it smells.
Yeah.
And she still talks about it like that.
Yeah.
Like, if we walk by a smoker's, man, it's so bad.
It's funny how you don't notice it at all when you're a smoker, but, yeah, and like, my family does all their smoking, like, on, like, the front porch of the house.
Okay.
And it's an enclosed, you know, it's a fully enclosed room, and...
Bacon.
Yeah, and if they're out there, like, I can't go talk to them out there. If I'm out there for even 5 minutes, I'll get a headache, and just, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's funny how that, but I mean, I've been smoke-free for, I think, like, 2.5 years now, so, yeah. Not even, like, a little, you know, nothing. Sometimes I really want to, but...
Especially with... It's,
yeah, making... especially when you're, yeah, when you're just throwing them down, but, Yeah, fuck cigarettes. That's like, for me, it was just like, man, this is stupid. Like, this is a waste of fucking money. I love smoking, too. Like, I loved it, but it was like, man, this is a goddamn waste. Like, you know? And then I replaced that with drinking more, so, you know. Balance, I guess.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Vices.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I pretty much only played the same games that you did. I have not had much time for gaming this week. I've been doing a lot of schoolwork and stuff, okay. So And writing, you know, for the website, obviously. But I did play the XCOM Enemy Unknown demo.
Oh, yeah.
That was really cool. I really enjoyed that.
I played, like, the first full mission, I think, until it shows, like, how you can upgrade your characters and everything. And then I didn't feel like getting into that at that point.
Okay.
I enjoyed the first part, and then I was good on the demo. I'm really interested in that game now, though.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there is like a whole other mission though, where like you have the mission where like three of your people get killed, and then it takes you back and it shows you like how to level up a guy and stuff, and then you get an alert that like holy shit, there's, you know, people are getting abducted.
That's right. I did play a second one there.
Okay. Yeah.
I just skipped through all the upgrading stuff.
Well, it's all
like railroaded, right?
Yeah, it's all railroaded. You don't have any choice really.
You have a choice for the second mission, don't you? I think there were two locations.
You're either going to go to Chicago or, like, Beijing.
I went to Beijing.
I went to Chicago.
Okay.
As I understand it, the mission is pretty much the same no matter what you do.
Yeah.
But I had a lot of fun with it. I thought it was really cool, kind of exploring the tactics and you know, soldier concealment and stuff like that. It was fun.
I want to say it's kind of like it's supposed to be like a successor to like the original XCOM, and it's like the turn-based kind of thing.
Yep.
So that's like just a like realizing what that original game is, kind of?
In a lot of ways, yes. When we were at PAX East this year, we got to see a live demo of it, and the producer who was there, he you know, there was like a Q&A session afterward. Mm-hmm. And or it might have been before, I don't remember. And there were probably like half the people in our group of like 50 had played the previous games, and so like some of the stuff that he was asked was stuff like, you know, is this game as ridiculously hard as the original game?
Okay,
because like I guess the original game, you could have this thing called a zero turn failure, where as soon as your Sky Ranger touches down, something happens and everyone dies. Like, you know. A rookie with a rocket launcher gets mind controlled by an alien and fires a rocket inside the Sky Ranger and kills everyone.
Oh my goodness.
And so he basically said, like, that's not going to happen now.
Okay.
So they basically, they made it so that, that, as I understand it, in the original XCOM, there was one difficulty, which was fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, they kind of give you a scale. You can still have it be that hard if you want to, but that's not the default setting.
Who were the original developers? Is it like Microprose or something?
Shit. I think something. It was.
Are they the publishers?
It might have been Microprose.
But as far as like a big budget turn-based game, I don't think they could go wrong with was it Firaxis?
Firaxis, yeah.
Following that,
amazing,
up?
Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't really like real-time strategy games very much.
Mm-hmm.
And turn-based strategy games tend to go a little bit too slow. I'd say probably, like, one of the only exceptions for me was, and this is a real-time game, was Sins of a Solar Empire. That game was, it was real-time, but everything happened kind of slowly, so you always, you know, had time to figure shit out.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I'm really enjoying the demo for XCOM. It just, it gets me.
I wish I could pre-order it, because they, like, there are enough pre-orders to unlock the third and final level of, like, pre-order bonuses.
Did the third tier get unlocked?
Yep.
Oh, okay, because when I pre-ordered it.
And oh, nice.
When I did, they were, like 60% or 73% of the way through, so I wasn't sure if they were going to get that.
Well, you helped.
Excellent.
But, yeah, the third tier, it's, do you have Civ 5?
No,
okay,
I don't.
Now you
That's,
do.
Yeah.
You will, at least.
Yeah. So, that was cool. I thought that was really awesome. Yeah, everybody who pre-ordered on Steam, if they unlocked, if they got enough pre-orders, would get a free copy of Civ 5.
It's like taking all the shitty stuff that GameStop does in pre-ordering, like, out of it.
And making it awesome.
Yeah,
instead.
And, like, rewarding people
yeah.
now.
With, and it's not like, oh, you got a statue, you got a resin statue of a character in the game. Like, no, we gave you a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was just the third tier. The other tiers were some, there was, like, some, like, in-game character customization items.
Yep.
And then there were some TF2 items in another tier. And when I pre-ordered, the first two were already unlocked.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I got that stuff immediately. And I'm actually really glad to see that I got Civ 5, too. That'll be fun, because I really wanted to play it, but it was not something I wanted to buy in case I didn't like it.
That's still, like, I mean, Civ 5, that's still, like, a full price game, I think. So to have
we're
that
close
just
to it.
Yeah. I mean,
to have that given to you. Yeah.
Very I'm jealous.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
I'm not usually a strategy game in general.
Neither player, am I.
But I think that kind of, I don't know, it's just the, where it comes from, just how important the original XCOM game is as far as, like, turn-based strategy games and everything. I think it's worth supporting, you know?
Yeah,
and
big time.
I'm glad that they're bringing that back.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's not like, I know a lot of people were upset about the XCOM first-person shooter that's coming out next year.
Right.
Basically, like, well, this isn't XCOM. Like, you know, and it's like, well, we got something for you too, fuckers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm really interested in that shooter, too. That looks really cool.
Okay.
I like the kind of the tone and setting of it is completely different from this game.
Mm-hmm.
I think XCOM Enemy Unknown is set sometime in the future. It's like 2250 or something like that. And XCOM the shooter is set in like 1964.
Okay.
And it's like I want to say it's like this is how the XCOM division gets started.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you are almost like an FBI agent, and you still have the kind of thing where like shit will just pop up like holy fuck, there's, you know, cattle mutilations in Kansas. Do you want to go check it out? And so like you and like agents will go to check that stuff out.
Okay.
And so, but you know, rather than being a turn-based strategy game, it's a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
It looks really cool.
And like, as I was playing the demo, it made me think of Advance Wars.
Sure.
For like the Game Boy Advance and
DS.
Like that whole series. 'Cause that's a very similar feeling, and that was one of the few turn-based games that I actually could get into. And it's not too Burgundy.
Oh God!
They're a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to eventually getting XCOM.
Yeah,
it's fun. I mean, I didn't have any time to really play anything else because I got a pretty sweet Lego set.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got that R2-D2 set.
Yeah, it was like 2,120. Yeah. 2,127 parts.
Damn.
Which is pretty... It's like the 20th biggest Lego set.
Okay.
Which...
Pretty good.
I mean, considering how many there's been, that's pretty significant.
Sure.
Yeah, it probably took me like 7 or 8 hours to put together, which
wow.
is actually really satisfying, because normally they only take like an hour or two to put together.
At best, yeah.
So, it's a fun hobby. It's really expensive, though.
Yeah. How tall is the R2-D2? In the picture you posted, I couldn't really tell how big it was.
Yeah, it's a pretty accurate like looking model.
Uh-huh.
Like it's kind of blocky around the dome, but that's just because it's made out of blocks. Because
of Lego. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's actually a little like it's like 12 and a half inches tall.
Okay.
So a little over a foot.
Okay.
And yeah, it's really hard to show that in pictures.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to put next to it to scale. I just wanted pure R2-D2.
Well, it looks pretty awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I feel pretty accomplished for that.
Yeah.
I just follow directions, but I liked putting things together.
No, so. I love, like, when I was a kid, that was, like, my favorite toy was Legos. Like,
mm-hmm.
I always loved, like, building shit. And, you know, like, I ended up having, like, I don't even know, it must have just been something that I kind of, like, accrued over the course of, like, a couple of years, but I basically just had this big-ass, like, bucket was just random. It wasn't, like, a bucket that was, like, bought for me of random Lego parts, but it was just, like, I had all these different Lego sets, and over the years, they get taken apart and
mm-hmm.
just thrown into this bucket. So, like, I had all these random parts from countless different sets.
Yeah.
And that was fun, because I was able to, like, build my own little, like, spaceships. And,
yeah.
like, oh, man, I built this one. It was probably, like 8 inches tall. I built a robot that, I mean, obviously it didn't move because it's Legos, but I built like a robot, like a bipedal, like mech type robot that had, it had like knee joints, it
wow.
had hip joints, it had like joints on its ankles, you know, so like I could like make it walk. It had like joints on its arms and stuff with guns.
Very nice.
It had this cool little cockpit
wow.
that could, like, I had set it up so that like the cockpit part could like detach, and it looked like a little spaceship, like a little UFO
oh, neat.
Dude, it was awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, like you can't get that shit with like like, even, like, the buckets of random parts, like, you can't get that. Like, that, you can only get something like that from just, like, having a whole bunch of sets over time. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
And I don't really like the, just, like, one goal sets, just where there's just one set of instructions. But, I mean, this is different because it's, like, almost like a conversation piece.
Yeah.
Like, it's something you put on your bookshelf.
Sure.
But, Technic is my favorite series.
Yeah.
Just because it comes with usually a couple sets of directions. You can see everything moving and there's the gears and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me a few months to save up. I think it'd been since the beginning of July, saving up to get R2-D2.
Well, and I know that, like, at your birthday party, there was, like, a big jar that was just, like, you know, Lego thing.
That was a good base.
Yeah.
That helped a lot.
Yeah.
But,
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. Because usually, just as a general rule, it's like 10 cents per piece.
Okay,
that's,
all right.
That's the
idea. I didn't know that's how it broke down.
And R2-D2, that would work out to a little over like $210 or so.
Yeah.
But it's actually like 180.
Okay.
So it's as far as what the average price is, it's a pretty good deal.
Sure.
And you can even get it on Amazon for like 150.
Oh, nice.
But okay. That's, like, an awesome set. I recommend that to anyone, because it's a lot of fun to put together.
Cool. Very nice.
So that's what was taking up a lot of my time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's like, the one thing that I kind of dislike about being in school again. It's like, man, I can't play video games much. Obviously, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, going to school, gotta do that.
Gotta better yourself.
Yeah, gotta learn shit, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing public speaking, and, I was, like, I shouldn't have been surprised, but I was really surprised at how many people suck at public speaking. Like, even just giving a speech to, like a small class of, like, you know, 20 people, mm-hmm. like, people are really bad at that.
Yeah.
A big group of my classmates were talking about the second speech that we delivered, and, like, the professor records all of these, and, like, we have to, like, watch our own video and, like, critique it and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And, like, we don't have to watch it in front of the class. Yeah. And he sent us a private copy of it, but, yeah. But, like, they were all talking about it, and they were talking about, like, how hard it was and how they watched their videos and were really, you know, like, you know, I really didn't like this part and, like, this part, and they were, like, he grades you on that stuff, like, you know, exceeds expectations, meets expectations, you know, so on and so forth. And they were like, yeah, what did you get? Oh, I got meets expectations. I got, you know, below expectations. Like, did anybody get exceeds expectations? And I'm like, oh, I did. I did.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny, like, how many people suck at giving speeches. To me, it's like reading. Like, when mm-hmm. I was a kid in elementary school, you know, you always, like, read aloud, you know, from, like, the big-ass book that just has a bunch of stories in it.
Yeah.
And, like, kids in my class fucking sucked at reading. Like, they, oh, my God. I know this was recently mentioned on a podcast that I listened to, so maybe that's why I'm thinking of it, but, like, I was so blown away by, like, how kids just couldn't fucking read. Like, what is wrong with you kids? And it's probably just, like, their parents didn't read with them at home or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That bothered me. Okay. Well, I that actually works, because I think we're pretty much done. So,
okay.
We're gonna go to break, and we will be right back. And we are back. The song bringing us in was the Banshee Song by Ballydouse.
Huh.
Yes. They are a Celtic-themed punk rock band from the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're also, I didn't know this at first, very hardcore Christians.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Yeah. You know, I guess that works for some people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Isn't that what MXPX is?
Yeah! Were they always, or did that happen later?
I think they always were. I never listened to them. It was just like...
Yeah. That was like a known thing.
In like high school punk phase where I was too cool to listen to anything else.
Sure.
There were friends of mine that were, you know, even more into punk and everything. They were like, yeah, they're Christian punk.
You can't listen to that anymore.
Now, like, okay. Speaking about punk rock, I used to be really big into the punk rock scene when I was a teenager. And one of my favorite bands was The Casualties. And I went back, like a couple of weeks ago, just to, like, listen to some of their stuff on YouTube. And I was like, wow, I have gotten old, because this is unlistenable bullshit.
Oh, really?
It's mostly the singer. Like musically, it's still, you know, for being punk rock, it's still pretty good. But, like, their singer is fucking terrible. He's the worst. And he looks like a fucking gremlin. Like, god damn. I saw them live. They were, like, one of my favorite bands to see live.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I was like, man, I used to think this was the best.
I wasn't as into punk as, like, some of my friends were. I was just, like, in that group, kind of. Like, I definitely like Dead Kennedys.
Oh, man!
Yeah.
Up top.
Yeah.
Give me one. Yeah. Dead Kennedys. That was my jam.
Yeah.
I love the Dead Kennedys.
And I remember being in, like, eighth grade, and everyone was like, what the heck is NoFX? Because I'd have, like, a couple NoFX shirts, and no one knew what they were.
Yeah.
And, but that would also get some ire from my punker friends.
From your more hardcore friends. Who were like, oh, fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, they listened to it anyway.
Of course.
But, I don't know. I don't even remember what I listened to now.
No, it's actually funny, because, like, the first punk rock show I ever went to, it was like a few, like local bands from, like, Albany, and then the Casualties were headlining it, and the first band that played, they were like, you know, the first song they played, they were like, oh, well, this is for all you guys who think you're too punk rock for NoFX, and they played a NoFX song, and it was amazing. It was awesome. It was great. Yeah, I like some NoFX stuff. I like a lot of the 90s punk rock bands. NoFX, Lagwagon. Lagwagon is awesome. I still have a few of my old punk rock compilations, like Fat Music for Fat People, and all the Fat Music stuff. Really good.
I think they might even be really late 80s, but, like, Operation Ivy.
Yeah, Operation Ivy was great.
Way into. I never got into Rancid.
No,
which is, like,
neither did
the
I.
Logical, the, like, follow-up.
Well, I think the singer from Operation Ivy was, like, the guitarist and, like, backup singer for Rancid.
Right? Other way around. It was the guitarist from Operation Ivy.
Okay.
He went on to be the singer and, like, lead guitarist for...
Yeah, what the hell's that guy's name? It's not Lars Fredriksson.
No, guy. he was rhythm guitar, I think.
Yeah.
It's, shit. It's right there. Oh, it's Lint.
We have one internet here. We can check that out real quick, because it's really bothering me.
It might be Mike something, but it... No.
No, it's like, I want to say it's like Tom, but I don't know. Let me...
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know, it's really bothering me too. My sister was really into Rancid, and I was like, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like Rancid at all.
No.
Let's see. The guy's name is Tim Armstrong.
Tim Armstrong.
That's,
okay.
Oh, man. Whew. I'm glad we got that. That was killing me.
And it was the bassist from Operation Ivy that moved up to Rancid as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I used to like Operation Ivy a lot. It's actually funny. A friend of mine... He had a paper route, and so, like, on the weekends, I spent almost every weekend at his house when I was a teenager. And we, you know, in the mornings, I would run his paper route with him, and it seemed like Operation Ivy was, like, the soundtrack to our paper route. Like, we were almost always listening to Operation Ivy. It was awesome. It was great.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Man. Maybe we should have had Operation Ivy bringing us in.
Wow, we never have.
Yeah, we never have. I think I'm going to have to go and buy some of that so we can use that sometime.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Oh, there's some... There's
some good ones.
Such a limited amount of stuff, but it's all really good.
Yeah, it's all legitimately good stuff.
I think they really only had a couple EPs, and then it was made into a full album.
Yeah, I want to say they really only had, like, one full album. And it's funny that became so prolific and is, in my eyes, like, better than anything Tim Armstrong has done since.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking hate Rancid. I can't.
Yeah. Like,
my sister had the Outcome the Wolves album, which I think was, like, their big break.
Yeah.
And that album is such a scam, because the first song, Maxwell Murder, is this, like pretty badass, like, upbeat, you know, ripping song.
Yeah.
And then, like... Everything else is Ruby Soho and, like, Roots Radicals and bullshit like that. It's like, wow, you really sold me a false ideal here. Like, I was hoping the whole album was going to be like Maxwell Murder, and none of the songs are.
All I can think of is like the Cadillac, something, some black shoes, black hat, Cadillac.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Yeah, I know what that, yeah. And are you sure that's not Operation Ivy?
That's the thing, it sounds like Operation Ivy.
It sounds like an Op Ivy song.
But,
yeah, I know that song too.
I remember it was like a big deal, because they were like on, Rancid was like on SNL.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, I mean, of course everyone was already saying, oh, they're sellouts. Oh, yeah, and then it was like, oh, they're fucking sellouts because they're on SNL.
And they played Roots Radicals. Yeah. That was one of the songs they played. God, I fucking hate that song.
Roots, I don't even
like,
remember.
You could not have... And like that doesn't help either, because it's like, wow, okay, everyone already thinks you're a sellout because you're on SNL, and you play like the most like poppy like bullshit song ever when you play Roots Radicals. Like, you should have blown everybody out of their seats and played Maxwell Murder.
Yeah.
Dumbasses. Ugh, man.
I think I saw them at, like, the 2003 Warped Tour.
Oh, really?
Or something.
Okay. All right.
Everything's always different live.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
It was
some
okay.
stuff's way better live. Casualties. Casualties are way better live.
I at the same show, it was at, like, Randall's Island in New York City.
Yeah.
I think later on in the day, I saw, there's, like, a covers band. That's Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
I love Me First and the Gimme Gimmes.
Yeah, because it's Fat Mike and everything.
They're fucking great.
That was really good.
Yeah. Me First and the Gimme Gimmes are awesome.
Yeah.
I have a couple of their CDs and they're just great. I think that's awesome. Just yeah. Man. I was listening to on my way home yesterday, I was listening to I have like the entire collection of Cowboy Bebop soundtracks, like like seven like CDs.
Wow.
And, including like the live one. The live one is friggin' incredible, yeah. It's still good.
Yeah.
Still really good. That's some great music.
What's the band?
Seatbelts.
Oh, Seatbelts?
Yeah,
all Seatbelts is the Tank, but that's the song, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and like, the Yoko Kanno, the woman who did all the composition and stuff, like, she's, like, the leader of the Seatbelts. And as I understand it, like, Seatbelts was just a band that was put together for Cowboy Bebop. Like, it wasn't a band that existed before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so they, like, reunited for, like, a tour, and so, like, I have that CD, too. And they got the singer who's, you know, like, for, like, the two songs that have vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they got her back for the live tour and stuff. It's great. It's really awesome. And they even did some songs from the Cowboy Bebop movie as well. Man. Hmm.
Segue in, like, further into this, like, keep going into tangents, but I'm kind of, like, ashamed of the, like, liking some anime at this point.
Okay, like what?
Because,
like, I don't really like a lot of anime.
I don't like a lot of it now. There's some stuff that, like, I used to like that I'm like,
Okay, give me. Okay, I need to know. Like, what is the one anime series that you're most embarrassed about having liked?
Well, I don't know. It's just when you start looking at like the Japanese culture, like more like broadly, you're like, oh man, there's some fucked up people over there with some strange fetish.
It's messed up shit.
But I didn't really like it that much. But maybe I thought I did. But there was like Chobits that I was like forced to watch.
I've heard of Chobits, but
that was weird.
Okay,
it's like some crazy like robot made fantasy kind of thing. Yeah, I don't even remember enough about it, but it's just like I'm ashamed that I actually watched it.
Okay,
I really liked the original, like the whole Full Metal Alchemist series.
Yeah,
that was really good.
Yeah, Full Metal Alchemist was. I didn't see like the full run of it, but I saw like probably the first like 20 episodes or so, and those were really good.
Yeah, I just plowed through it and then watched. There's the movie that bookends it.
It's on Netflix, isn't the whole? I want to say that the series is on Netflix.
I'm not sure if the original one is. They came out with Brotherhood. A remake, which is actually supposed to be like a more strict to the manga.
Oh, okay.
The manga.
Say whatever you want. I don't care.
Otakus want. Which I started watching that, and it starts similar, and then I think they branch off.
Okay.
Which I would actually like to watch that.
Yeah, it was
at
good
at some point, but then I kind of feel like I don't know. Just
do you feel weird?
About I kind of feel weird watching anime now.
All right. I mean, Yeah, I think it depends. Like growing up, I did not like anime because it was always really stupid. You know, like oh, big sweat bead on my face, and like, oh, I'm angry, so I have this angry cat face. Like, shit like that. I was like, wow, this is really stupid. And so, like, the thing that kind of broke the barrier for me was, well, Akira. I saw Akira, and I knew I liked Akira.
Yeah.
And then, for a series, it was Cowboy Bebop. Because it doesn't have any of that bullshit. Like, it's you know, like, Cowboy Bebop could very easily just, like, if you did that exact same everything and made it live action, like, it would transfer over, you know, it plays like a live action show.
It would be
know?
As popular as Firefly was.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is still, like, to this day, my favorite series, but...
Yeah.
Like, you know, I kind of like Trigun. Trigun's pretty goddamn good.
Never got around to watching Trigun. Still,
it's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Highly recommended.
There was another one I kind of feel ashamed to have watched.
All right.
It was called Fruits Basket.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, that's just... It's just more... It's, a lot of that stuff is just, like, wish fulfillment. It's almost, like, it's on the level of Twilight kind of stuff. But I, even in my head right now, I have the like theme song from the first section of Fullmetal Alchemist stuck in my head.
Okay,
because that's actually a pretty good song.
Sure.
I think it was like probably 14 or so. Just getting like, had a friend that I would skateboard with, and we would every once in a while we'd get to like rent like whatever we want, like a movie, and we watched like Ghost in the Shell and Akira. And it was like, oh, boobies and stuff. But it was, like, I think those are still pretty good.
Yeah, Akira still holds up. Akira's great.
Yeah.
I liked Ghost in the Shell. Like, I thought Ghost in the Shell was okay, but, like...
It's kind of weird.
And it's... I think it tries a little bit too hard sometimes to, like, be really, like, deep and existential.
Yeah.
But the series that came out, Standalone Complex...
I never saw any of that.
Incredible. Really? Because it has none of it, like, it's not trying too hard to, like, you know, make you think about existentialism or anything like that. It's just, like, straight up, like, if you could take cyborg cops, like a squad of cyborg cops, and basically just do kind of, like, a... like a crime mystery show where it's cyborg cops trying to solve crimes. Like, that's basically what it is.
Oh.
It's like each episode is just them like investigating crimes and stuff like that. It's really cool. Like Law and Order, but with cyborg cops.
Okay.
I believe that in Japan, the actual subtitle was something like Cyborg Investigation Squad or something like that. And that's exactly what it is. And it's awesome. The whole series is on Netflix.
Like, even when the really serious stuff, they always put in that like super Japanese character. Like, there's
always one.
There's Ed in Cowboy Bebop.
Yep.
In Standalone Complex, isn't it like the robot, like the
Tachikoma? The tank? Yeah, yeah. It sounds like a little girl and is dumb. Yeah, they can't get away from it.
There's a really good like short form series. I think it's only like 14 episodes. It's called Hibane Renmei.
Okay.
It's actually just about, like, a group of girls, pretty much. But that one's really good.
Okay.
I'd recommend that to anyone. That's...
All right, now let me ask you.
Okay.
When you watch anime, or when you did watch anime, subbed or dubbed?
I think probably when I first watched it, it was definitely dubbed.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd even want to watch Cowboy Bebop subbed.
Okay.
Because... I like the voice
You're so
acting.
Familiar. Yeah.
It's nice. Hibane Renmei, I'd probably go either way.
Okay. It kind of bugs me when people are like, no, the only way to watch anime is watch it subbed. It's like, yeah, but I don't... Like, I have great respect for American voice acting, and I really enjoy, like, trying to recognize American voice actors and stuff. Like, I don't know Japanese voice actors. I can never recognize them. And I genuinely like... American voice acting.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, you know, I will always watch it in English if I can. You know, just, I like American voice actors.
Yeah.
Steve Blum is on Cowboy Bebop. Interestingly enough, not credited as Steve Blum. Credited as David Lucas.
Does he have, like, a pen name?
He's in the union. There's a voice acting union.
Right.
And,
someone already have Steve Blum.
No, but, like, that was out of the union, and, like, voice actors are heavily... discouraged from doing non-union work, so they use
scab.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of them use like a fake name.
Wow.
And he still maintains to this day that they're not the same person. Kind of weird.
Hmm.
Yeah. So this has been the anime talk for KGB Radio.
I kind of have to pee again, so maybe we'll see.
I kind of do too. All right, so we're gonna take a quick pee break. We'll be right back. And we are back from our impromptu break from our impromptu discussion. The song bringing us in was Sound System by Operation Ivy.
Oh, how about that?
Hey! Yeah, how weird that, you know, a band we were talking about is one that we then used for a break.
Yeah, I just had a little bit of nostalgia going.
Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, I was about to start another punk rock discussion. We need to move on to news.
Yeah, we'll come back to it another date or something.
Oh, there will be plenty of time for that. So news. The first bit of news that I have is that the new PlayStation 3 redesign was unveiled this past week at Tokyo Game Show, and the big thing is that it's 20% smaller and 25% lighter than the current PS3 Slim.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of cool.
I still have a fat PS3 fat.
Okay.
And Matt Thompson.
Yeah.
He has the Slim.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised at, like, the size difference even with those two. And then Giant Bomb, they had an unboxing video.
Yeah.
And then they further, like, showcased how they compare, like, the Slim and the new one.
Okay.
And it's pretty significant. I'm surprised. It doesn't have, I don't think it has a physical, drawer now.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's like this weird type of thing where you touch the top and it slides open and you just set the disc down.
Yeah. Which is okay. Like, yeah. I'm kind of a fan of avoiding overly complicated loading systems.
Yeah. Less moving parts, that's probably a good idea.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, looking at like, the PSP, like, the first PSP had, like, a motorized door to, like, open it and load your discs and stuff. And then, like, when they redesigned it for the PSP Slim, it was like, no, it's just a little door that you just use your finger to flip open. Like, take out as many moving parts as possible. Hell yes. Yeah. But the pricing on it is kind of weird.
I'm not familiar with it.
There's going to be a 250 gig model and a 500 gig model.
Wow.
But it's weird because there's not a price drop associated. Usually when there's a redesign, there's also a price drop.
Yeah.
The 250 gigabyte version will be available September 25th, so it's out now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's $269.99. But it does come with Uncharted 3 and like $30 worth of stuff for the upcoming Dust 514.
Oh yeah, game, yeah.
Which, like, to me, that's kind of limited value. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody's gonna play that.
No.
You know, but yeah. So, and I'm not sure how much the 500 gig one is. I know that in the UK, it's gonna cost £300, which is equivalent to, shit, how much does that equal out to in America bucks?
I thought it was like 1.5 or
it might be 1.5. Yeah, so that's what, like 450?
Yeah, that's,
yeah. Yeah, that's kind of expensive.
Yeah. I don't know if they still have user serviceable hard drives, cuz that was a thing with the FAT.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can change out the hard drive.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just a notebook hard drive.
Oh, sweet.
I think they're SATA.
SATA?
SATA.
Okay.
I always spell it out.
Oh. All right. No, I just say SATA.
Yeah.
It
is easier.
Yeah. If it was a little bit cheaper, I would consider buying one.
They're really...
Because I don't have one.
They're pretty good, like, even just for media-wise.
Well, I mean, for me, the big draw is that there are some Sony exclusives that I would really like to play. I would love to play Uncharted.
Yeah.
You know, but I can't. Oh. You know?
I like the first two a lot. I haven't picked up the third.
Yeah, I heard they are very good.
Journey is a great experience.
Yeah, Journey. Oh man, I would love to play Shadow of the Colossus in HD.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
From our last week's discussion about greatest games ever, Shadow of the Colossus, one of the greatest games ever. I'll throw that out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
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 I just want to touch on, like, I don't think I'm supposed to talk about it really, but I did get I'm in the beta for Dust.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm not impressed.
Okay, how much are you comfortable saying about it?
Well,
because I don't really, much, I don't really know like much about minutes. It. So,
it's a first person shooter.
Okay.
I think it would be unfair to say like don't bother, because I haven't put any time into it. Really, okay. I just hopped in. I was like, this is weird, and didn't really know what to do. But that's all the type of things that come with more polish.
Now, like, my understanding was that I heard there was, like, speculation or something about, like, Dust 514 taking place in the same universe as EVE Online.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Okay, all right. Now, is the game actually affected by the goings-on in EVE Online? It's probably too early for you to tell, huh?
I couldn't say okay. one way or another. I just...
All right.
Just the way, like, the feel of the game,
mm-hmm.
it didn't... I wasn't that comfortable with the first-person shooting in it.
Okay.
That might be something that could change with more use,
yeah.
but I'm not really that interested.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. NBA Live 13 was canceled.
Oh, no.
I know. Those sports games that I always play, the new one of that isn't happening now.
Shit.
I know. Yeah, it's kind of weird, because there hasn't been a new one since 2009.
That's weird.
And EA was making one and then just said, fuck it.
And that's something that they hold the license for.
Yeah.
And so they're paying for this license.
And not making games with it.
Producing anything. That's weird.
Yeah, yeah. That would be like them not releasing Madden. Although I'm sure Madden makes them a lot more money than NBA does. But
certainly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought that was a really weird thing. Like, they, this is not the first NBA Live game that they canceled. NBA Elite 11 was also canceled.
Weird.
For quality concerns, ended up only coming out on iOS.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean... it's hard for me to care because I don't play sports games, but
yeah.
EA, like you said, EA holds this license and is not doing anything with it. And,
seems like a waste of money.
Yeah, kinda. Moving on. 3D Realms. You know 3D Realms. The you know.
They're still around?
Not really, no.
Yeah.
They aren't, actually. one of the guys from 3D Realms, Scott Miller.
George Miller.
Glenn Miller. Steve Miller.
Yes.
They're all related, right?
Yeah.
I think Steve Miller is their dad.
They have to be.
They must be.
It's in the name.
Yeah. Scott Miller, he was one of the 3D Realms founders, and mm-hmm. obviously 3D Realms doesn't exist anymore, but he was their chief creative officer there, and he now runs a company called Radar Group. And they are seeking crowdfunding to revive a game that they had started a while ago called Earth No More. And I had read about this in a huge-ass Game Informer article a few years ago when they were talking about... it might not have even been Game Informer. It might have been GMR.
Is that what it was prior?
No. No. Game Informer has always been around, but GMR was Electronics Boutique's magazine,
oh.
and Game Informer was GameStop's magazine.
Right.
So GMR went goodbye when the merger happened. But
okay,
it was in one of those magazines that when they were talking about how Prey got made, uh-huh. you know, because Prey like because 3D Realms actually had a really awesome like publishing model mm-hmm. where like. Like with Prey, they basically fronted a lot of the money to get the game made, and they did all the publishing and distribution and stuff for it. And Human Head was doing the actually building the game.
Yeah.
And they would split profits 50-50, and it was a really beneficial arrangement for developers because the developers would retain ownership of the property.
Yeah, I want to say, isn't that how Max Payne came about?
Max Payne and the first Prey were both made that way.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and so it's a really great system, and so they were doing this similar thing
mm-hmm.
with Earth No More, and I guess, you know, with all the troubles that happened with Duke Nukem Forever and then 3D Realms stopping being a thing... Right. It kind of went away. But it was really interesting. It's a first person shooter. That's what they make.
Yep.
And as I understand it, it was kind of like the earth, something happened to the earth. It was kind of like an environmentalist perspective where, like, because of all the shit that humans did to the earth kind of fought back. And so there's like these like red like vines that. Like these massive red vines that are like erupting out of the earth and like consuming buildings and stuff.
Whoa.
And so it basically fucks the whole planet up. And so it's like this kind of like post-apocalypse, which everybody knows you got me immediately when you say post-apocalypse. Yeah. But so it's like this like post-apocalyptic game where you know the earth is essentially fighting back against humanity.
Hmm.
Yeah. So they're trying to bring that back. Which,
it's like it's not Kickstarter, but it's a kind of similar type deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it maybe ended up on Kickstarter, but they haven't specifically mentioned Kickstarter as of yet, but they are saying crowdfunding.
Yeah, it's a crowdfunding thing.
Yeah.
And no George Broussard involvement?
Not as far as I know.
Which I think is a positive thing.
George Broussard, yeah, he kind of...
I can't take him seriously.
Yeah. His only thing was Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
And for, you know, however long Duke Nukem Forever was in...
Misogyny.
Yeah. Like his only project that he... Like, his only property that he ever worked on was Duke Nukem. And so for however long Duke Nukem Forever was in... development, that was his only thing, was make that, and he didn't.
Nope.
And he couldn't.
Nope.
Like, I remember in that same article where I was reading about Earth No More years ago, they were talking to Scott Miller and George Broussard, and Scott Miller basically said, like, yeah, there's pretty much, like, two halves of 3D Realms. There's the half that I run, mm-hmm. and then there's Duke Nukem. And pretty much all of that is under George Broussard. So, you kind of know where the talent was in that one. Not with Duke Nukem.
No.
I never liked Duke Nukem anyway.
I liked it in 96.
Yeah. Yeah, I shouldn't say I never liked it. I liked it before I hit puberty.
Or 95, I don't remember. Yeah. But, I mean, it was kind of fun to do a direct, like, dial my friend down the street's phone, like, modem directly, and then we'd play it for, like, a little bit.
Sure.
That was kind of it.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. let's see, moving on. 38 Studios. You know 38 Studios, Pat. The studio behind the mega smash hit Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
I hear there's an MMO.
yeah. You know, Project Copernicus, still out there somewhere.
In screenshots.
In screenshots and a very short video. And
some stuck in...
In Rhode Island.
Yeah. Pursuits.
yeah. Well, the state of Rhode Island announced that they're going to be doing a massive auction of a lot of 38 Studios assets.
Okay.
It's all, like, hardware-based assets. They basically said it's going to be high-end computers, graphic design and animation equipment, a motion capture suit, LCD TVs, stuff like that. They also, for a short time... said that they were going to be auctioning off Xbox 360 development consoles.
That doesn't sound right.
It's not. And Microsoft contacted them immediately and said, that's illegal because we own those. You borrow those from us so that you can make a game.
Yeah,
so you can't sell that. So that was taken off the listing. But so if you want to buy, you know, a small piece of history, you know, gaming history here, you can go to Rhode Island and buy, you know, buy a server. But, you know, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Maybe it has a logo, like a 38 Studios logo on it.
It's not worth much.
No, I imagine it might decrease the value, actually. Yeah,
unless you really loved Kingdoms of Amalur.
You know what? This is weird, but I kind of want to go back and play Kingdoms of Amalur again.
Okay.
And to see, like... maybe it's because... partly because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
But, like, I want to go back and see, like... was it really that bad? Was it really... And then the rational part of me speaks up and says, yes, it was fucking that bad.
Yeah.
Asshole.
I played a little bit of the demo, and all I could think about as I was doing it was that it felt like World of Warcraft.
Kinda.
Like, I was just wandering around.
Go kill 10 bandits!
Yeah, and it was like, the aesthetics really felt like the color scheme, everything about it kind of felt like a slightly warped, retarded World of Warcraft.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's when I lost interest and deleted the demo.
Yeah, that game is, that game am not good.
Yeah.
I don't like that. No thank you. No thank you, Mr. Schilling.
Kingdom of Am Not Good.
Nice! That was good. Wow, I feel like that's almost in contention for the title of this episode. Cat Farts is good, but yeah. Kingdom of Am Not Good is even better. Wow.
Yeah.
We're going to have to have a long conversation about that. Oh, man.
It's going to be rock, paper, scissors.
Yep. And the other little bit of news that we have is the, kind of in like a really weird, like mysterious way, there was a mod that just came out for like the Thief series and for System Shock 2.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, you know a little bit more about that than I do.
I can actually segue because
yeah.
It was a couple years ago, someone had randomly bought like a Dreamcast dev kit, and it had a bunch of CDRs on it and stuff, and it turns out on one of those CDRs was the source code for Thief.
Holy shit.
Or one of the Thief games, yeah. So, that kind of, everything went quiet after that, and then there was another, like a couple years ago, there was another leaked source code that was talked about for a little bit.
That's really bizarre.
And it's, all that kind of stuff is really stuck in, like, legal, like, a gray area, kind of, because Eidos still owns that source code, and in order for anything new to come out for it, they'd have to go through, like, lawyers and everything, like that. So, let's see. Oh, shit, I lost it. Yeah. So, earlier in the week, just randomly, on some French message board, a person, which I think it translates to the Crow, put a new patch out for the Thief, specifically like Thief 2 and System Shock 2, but it happens to also work for Thief 1. But he was under the pseudonym of like the Crow, and it just plopped down this zip file with all this like new EXEs, and it also like was accompanied by a ton of documentation, and it's just like a really, really good package. I managed to just plop what they provided, and without even really any like without messing around with it, it just works, and that's pretty great, because for a while, in order to get the Thief games to work, even System Shock, like, you'd have to go through all these like hex edits and these custom patches just to get it to run in like a Windows post 98.
Major pain in the ass.
Yeah, and now there's just a thing where you unzip this file into your Thief directory and it works.
Nice.
It's pretty awesome. So it's, there's a lot of, like, there's a patch notes file in it, and it kind of just, it prefaces it by like, here's some of the big changes, like amongst like the many changes that are in this.
Right.
So, there was a big limitation for, custom mission, or excuse me, fan mission makers,
mm-hmm.
where you can only have so many like polygons in the scene. And now that's pretty much not an issue anymore.
Okay.
Whereas, like, it didn't matter how good your computer is, like, the engine would just bog down if it was, like, a too big of a mission. The map. That's not an issue now. So people can actually go back to their creations and make them what they want.
Holy shit. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and then even further, they, it had, like, Creative EAX built into the game originally.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, Creative created OpenAL, I think.
Yeah.
And that went through a few iterations. Mm-hmm. Then it stopped being open, but they were still making it. So instead of it being EAX, like, you keep scrolling through your hardware acceleration stuff in the game, and it goes to OpenAL, which is a pretty big deal for that game, because that's all about your environment and being able to hear everything.
Right.
And then there's, for a long time, people have been relying on programs like Dark Loader to load their custom fan missions, and now it's built in to that EXE, so you don't even have to load up a different program. It just manages all that stuff for you. So you don't have to worry about the Dark Loader or anything anymore, and it just takes care of everything for you. And then there was also, like, the fact that it works for System Shock 2 as well, which that's a pretty big deal.
Which is, that's awesome to me, because, like, I never played System Shock 2. Mm. Like, I got into computer gaming where, at, like, a really weird time, for me anyway, where, like, building a, or, like, having, a decent enough computer to run that game was still not something that, like, a lot of people had. Like, not as much as now, anyway.
Right.
So, like, I didn't, you know, I could play the original System Shock, no problem, and I love that game, mm-hmm. and, but I didn't have a good enough computer to play the second one, so I still have never played it.
I've owned it since, like, I worked at Babbage's.
I
got a copy back then, shortly after it came out, I think. Even maybe a few years after. I still have not played farther than the first mission in that game, just because it freaks me out so much.
I've heard that game is, like, legitimately scary at times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even now, how it looks kind of... It just looks old now.
Yeah.
It still manages to carry that, like, the ambiance or whatever.
The atmosphere.
But the craziest thing with that patch was that, like, I got Thief 2 patched, you know, it took a minute. And then I look in this, you know, in the tons of documentation that came with this, mm-hmm. there was a Thief 1 folder or something, and it said, just in order to work for this to work with Thief 1, just put this in, you know, this particular folder, and then you'll be all set. Like, so you use the same, like, Thief2.exe to run Thief Gold.
Okay.
Like, oh, that's weird. So I did it, and yeah, so the patch is for Thief 1 as well.
Holy shit.
And without, like, anything.
Hell yeah.
So, I don't know, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I really wish that I could play System Shock 1, you know, like, now.
Yeah.
But it's impossible to get now. You can't buy it.
Yeah, there was, for a long time, I remember I would get it off, like, Home of the Underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
But that was even before DOSBox existed, so getting that to run is pretty impossible, because that was, like, probably early XP days.
Yeah, yeah, and there's very little hope of it showing up on GOG right now.
Yeah, because I think
The ownership
issues with that and System Shock 2.
I don't really know about 2, but I know that 1 is currently owned by an insurance company.
That's...
Yeah, like, it had something to do with, like, the way that Origin, like, structured their stuff to make sure that, like, EA could never, like, take control of a product that like, Origin made.
Okay.
They the way that their deal was set up is that now, like, a small insurance company owns it, and from what I understand, like, their asking price for it is, like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, it's not really attractive. So, like, even something like GOG just licensing it to, you know, to sell, like, an old version of it, like, I guess it's just too crazy. So, it's been at the top of GOG's request list for years.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, I guess this insurance company just is being just assholes about it, so. Because I would love to play, I would play that today.
Yeah.
I mean, that game does not look good, but it was awesome. Such a good game. Oh, man.
Some classics out there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I think we're going to go to break.
Okay.
Yeah. So when we come back, community stuff and some requests for user submissions. So we will be right back. Hey everybody, Rock here. Just wanted to give you guys a quick little message.
It's not our policy to ever ask for donations or anything like that, and that's not what I'm here to do right now, but just wanted to let you guys and girls know that there are a couple of ways you can help us out that would be very much appreciated. Christmas, just a couple of months away, and if you look in the upper right-hand corner of our page, you'll see an Amazon link. And the important thing to remember about that Amazon link is if you click through to Amazon using our link, you know, any purchases that you make while you're on Amazon after clicking on that link will give us a tiny little bit of money, help us out a little bit. You don't have to buy the item that's being linked to, although in this case you might want to because it's the Blu-ray collection of Star Wars, but yeah, just click through the link, make all your purchases, whatever you want to do, and it'll help us out a little bit. You can also use our good old games banners that we've got, and same thing, you click through. You're not, you know, buying the game that's advertised, but any purchase you make from good old games while you're using that link will, again, give us a little bit of a kickback. And, yeah, I mean, if we could get some more reviews on iTunes, that would be awesome. We love reading those. And, you know, tell your friends. We definitely like to get some new listeners in. And, you know, all the other stuff, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Give us some feedback if you want to, through any of the numerous ways you can get hold of us. Okay, well, I've talked enough. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay, we are back. So stuff that went up on the website. Let's see here. I had a review of To the Moon go up. Mm-hmm. Indie gem To the Moon from Freebird Games. Yeah, oh man, such a good game. Like, I totally just kind of like stumbled upon it on accident, like just kind of like looking at Steam.
Yeah.
And caught the trailer for it, and the trailer made me have to play that game.
Yeah.
And, I loved it. It was awesome.
Do you feel like the game design got in the way of the story? You don't have to answer that.
I feel like the gameplay was 100% in service of the story.
Yeah.
Gameplay was kind of a secondary thing. Like, yeah. Most of the time you're just kind of, like, watching a scene play out, you know, and reading dialogue. But it's all so well written, and the story they tell is just absolutely incredible. I was blown away.
Yeah.
Just for such a small team making this game, fantastic.
Even in that trailer, I think in between, like, music sections, it does that, like, boop.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It's like, oh, this is going to be a rough story.
yeah. Well, I mean, the whole idea is that, you know, they're kind of in a race against time. Like, this guy, you know, is going to die, like, any day now.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to try to get these memories implanted so that he'll die thinking that he accomplished his greatest wish.
Yeah.
And, so, you know, the concept of death is pretty, pretty heavy throughout, but it explores a lot of themes, and it's incredible. I think anybody should check that out. It's $10 on Steam.
Yeah.
Oh, and the soundtrack is fantastic.
Yeah, is it worth paying the extra $2.50 or whatever to get the soundtrack version?
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's kind of, I got that impression just by, like, the music in the trailer is really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. So, so that's up right now. Chris wrote a hands-on first impressions of Fire Pro Wrestling.
I bet that's good.
Nope.
Oh.
When we were at PAX East 2011, Chris played the demo for that game.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came out now. And
wow.
Yeah. And he doesn't really see where that extra work went. It's all done with your Xbox avatar.
That's dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. Pretty stupid. I mean, you know, to be perfectly honest, like, he included in his article a video of, like, the last, like, real Fire Pro Wrestling game, and that looked kind of stupid, too, but...
Yeah.
This looks worse. This looks a lot worse.
Well, I think with the Fire Pro games, it was always like the mechanics were pretty solid. I think they've always been pretty well received games.
I think so. Yeah, but anything that involves your avatars, you know, as a mandatory thing is kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole avatar system is just bullshit.
Yeah.
I also had a hands-on first impressions go up of the XCOM Enemy Unknown demo, which we talked about a little while ago. Pretty goddamn good. Check out the demo. Pre-order the game. If you pre-order the game, you get some good shit.
A lot of stuff now.
Yeah, yeah. Some in-game items for XCOM when it comes out, some in-game items for Team Fortress 2, and now a free copy of Civilization 5. Pretty fucking awesome. Yeah, I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Yeah, yeah. Hell yes. So, let's see. Stuff that is going up on the site right now. I know that Chris finally was able to get Tony Hawk HD. I don't know if he's actually going to be writing something about it, but you know, he finally got it. AG Turbo, super user AG Turbo, sent us an article about Medal of Honor, so that'll be going up this week.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Hmm. And I might do some more work on that top five that I talked about last week about licensed games. You know, I kind of forgot about it. I've been busy. I've been really busy with school, so we'll see. Maybe. No promises.
No.
But there's always new stuff. I don't think we've ever gone, like, a single week without posting at least one or two new stories, so...
yeah.
Yeah. There'll be something new this week anyway. So, yeah. So, on to a little segment that I like to call Burning Question for Answer So Hot. last week's burning question for answer so hot was, what is a game, or character name that you have mispronounced in the past? And, let's see, John Newby said he always pronounced, Deus Ex incorrectly. I'm gonna assume he pronounced it Deus Ex.
Yeah, yeah.
That's actually, when I was, like, before I was aware of the series, that was how I used to pronounce it.
Deus Ex.
Yeah, I used to pronounce it Deus Ex. let's see. We had a bunch of responses on our Facebook. Let's see. Chris says he used to mispronounce yeast, which I only just figured out how to pronounce that. I always pronounced it just YS.
Yeah.
But I guess it is pronounced yeast.
Like yeast.
Yeah, or like yeast.
And you have that little...
Yeast. Yeah.
Like it's Japanese.
That Japanese inflection.
Yeah.
Iko, which I'm assuming he mispronounced Iko.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Deus Ex again. Diddy's Conquest. I don't know how you mispronounce Diddy's Conquest. How do you do that?
Well, what is... It's Diddy's Conquest?
Diddy's Conquest. Okay.
Maybe without the, like... The, maybe just Diddy Conquest?
Okay.
Diddy's...
Maybe he was pronouncing it, like, Conquest?
Well, I think that's the idea.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not really sure what he's going with. It's too bad he's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope the garage selling is worth it.
It's not.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
He says that he also had no idea how ennui was pronounced and thought it was NUI.
Yeah.
Just like I did.
Not a word you use much, but...
No, it's not. Not at all.
Uh-oh, we're flooding.
Oh, gosh, the water's rising. Oh, my God. Thank goodness we have these life vests.
Yeah.
So this week's burning question for Answer So Hot, we may have done this before, but we can come up with some new answers for it if we did. What is a video game, gadget or device that you wish would be real? So for mine, this is partially informed by Deus Ex. that guy had some amazing robot arms.
Okay.
Those robot arms were great. They could stretch and expand and had swords in them and were super strong. Give me some fucking robot arms. Get rid of this fleshy bullshit and give me some robot arms, like, today. That's it.
That's it?
What I've got. Robot arms.
He just threw the mic.
Yep. It's thrown.
And dropped it.
Yep. Boom.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Pat?
How about... Portal gun seems pretty useful.
Portal gun would be very useful. Late to work? No, you're not. Just walk through the portal, and you're there.
You're done.
Yeah. Yeah. You can mess with people a lot with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, open a portal below, portal above.
Yeah.
Done.
That would be the easiest way to win a fight.
Yeah, yeah. Man, you could be a freaking terrorist with a portal gun. Yeah.
I can think of some people that could definitely be... should go into that infinite loop.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Burr gun. Yes. So, answer in the comment section for KGB Radio episode 42. What is a video game device or gadget that you wish could be real? We will read your responses on the show. So I think we're gonna go. Also, we just started a Twitch TV channel. We're still kind of figuring out the ins and outs of it, but
To do with it.
Yeah, what to do with it and how to do it. But, you know, keep an eye on that.
Is it known _ griefers?
It is known _ griefers on Twitch TV. So, you know, once we get everything up and running, we'll be posting some stuff there.
Yeah.
And other than that, like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/knowngriefers.
Yes.
Follow us on Twitter at known_ griefers. And write to us at... knowngriefers@gmail.com.
Nice and consistent.
God, there's so many things to remember. Oh, and I wanted to, you know, say this now to our listeners. We're about a month away from Halloween right now, and I would really like to be able to read some user-submitted stuff on the show. So if you guys and gals, you know, send us, I don't know, if you're worried about, you know, like confidentiality or something like that, just send it to our Gmail account. Send us a scary story that has happened to you or to someone that you know. You know what I mean? Like, if you, you know, lived in a house that was legitimately haunted, like, you know, write us one of your experiences. If you, you know, saw a UFO or you know, thought you saw an alien or something like that, like, send that stuff to us, and when we get closer to Halloween, like whatever show ends up being closest to Halloween, I think it would be really cool to read a bunch of those user submissions on the show.
Absolutely, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So send that stuff now, and we'll save it, and we'll definitely read it on the show. So we're gonna get out of here. Pat, you want to say goodbye?
Bye.
All right. For all the staff at Known Griefers, my name is Rock. Have a wonderful evening.